This November, make home security your priority. Never miss a thing with Ring Alarm, video doorbells, and cameras. Check out Ring's Black Friday deals and save up to 2,000 Rand on selected devices. See, hear, and talk to visitors right from your phone, tablet, or PC from anywhere. Ring's Black Friday deals are available on Takealot, Vodacom, and Incredible Connections. This Black Friday, keep an eye on what's most valuable to you. Because with Ring, you're always home. Visit ring.com. Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. Welcome to a special episode. Although I feel like I say this with every episode, but every episode genuinely feels special. So a few weeks back, we went and we asked, who would you like to see come on the Wisdom and Wellness podcast? And a lot of you said, we would like to see some Wisdom and Wellness OGs come and share their journey. And I was like, okay, not a bad idea. We have so many, but I'm not choosing. I don't know how I'm going to explain how we got to these people. Good so let me not that. Even try. So today, we've got Ntavi Seng and Yvonne. I'll start with Ntavi Seng. She is the brains behind a design agency called IL Designs, which offers marketing solutions. She's a web developer, a designer, and a YouTuber. All right?
Of course. Yes.
And then we've got Yvonne, who's an admitted attorney. Works as an in-house counselor, a recipient of Mail and Guardian, top 50 powerful woman in 2023, and runs a project called Employment Wednesday, which is all about developing you. She's the girl who'll tell you, get up, it's not a holiday, go to work. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So good to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to start with some icebreakers. Okay, I'll start with you and something. What does a perfect day in your life look like?
Who? A perfect day?
Yeah.
Definitely taking all my tasks for the day.
Okay.
I mean, from gym, from eating right, to journaling.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to journal in the morning because you rushing to work. That and definitely completing my task at work as well. I think that's that for me.
What does a perfect day in your life look like? Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to giggle a lot.
Okay.
So my perfect day, firstly, is a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yes, girl.
And now because we do it October, and besides do it October, after I live up to 100, I'm in the walking thing. If I don't walk, I don't feel okay.
I get it.
It feels a bit awkward. Yeah. So I do my walks. After my walks, I buy myself a cup of coffee. And then I get back home and then I do like, I try to drag people on social media like, hey, I hope you've read your employment contract, you know, and knowing that I'm well rested and knowing that I've had my cup of coffee and I've moved my body, that's a perfect day. And also talking like in the morning, I talk to my sister a lot, like we send each other voice notes or sometimes we'll call for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We laugh at nothing and then the day is perfect.
It's perfect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree on the coffee part. I feel like I was away and where I was, there was like no coffee shops. I was just like,
a mess.
Like, what kind of day is this? Like, it's not good. And then I tried to have like this other coffee they had. Then I was just like, you know what? It's better to not have coffee than to have like bad coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. Top three items on your bucket list.
Okay, I just did one the other day.
Yeah. How was it? Did you do the swing or did you do the zip lining?
I did the swing. I did the zip lining. The zip lining was like the cherry on top.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Okay. I must say it was amazing. So two other things on my bucket. Hey, guys. I want to go to Europe.
Okay.
So one of my cousins got a great opportunity that side. So there's something exciting about creativity that side.
Yeah.
So I want to go and explore that.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Like live there or just like go and see
and come back? No, I don't want to leave there. Okay. Not yet.
Okay.
Maybe I might relocate. Who knows after coming back. Okay. So the other one, I would like to go on an island, like for a month. Just be on an island.
Yeah.
I want to try that.
And do what?
Do nothing.
For a read. Month. 30 days.
Yes. Yeah. If I've got the money, then it's fine. Let's do that.
Yeah, after 7 days, I'm just like, trying to go home, y'all.
I really want to do that.
Okay. What's on your top three items on your bucket list?
Top three. Okay, I also did Soweto Towers at the beginning of the year in January. initially I wanted to do Cape Town, which is like the biggest we have in Africa.
Yeah.
But I was like, yo, let's try Soweto Towers. So I think I want to do Cape Town soon. And then also I would like to travel. There's this big thing that I applied for. Like, it's called Yali. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they accept me. Then I'll be gone to the US for like 6 weeks for
what's Yali?
Leadership. Nelson Mandela Washington Scholarship.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So if I get in, then it means that I'll be there, like, you know, being taught on leadership, governance, you know, that type of stuff. And then also I'd want to go on a solo trip. Like, I'm afraid, though, but a solo trip overseas, like, just by myself. I'm thinking it's far, but I think I'd want to experience that thing that there's no codependence, you know, if I'm like, anyway, I'm going to call my sister, she's going to come pick me up. You know, that whole thing of just do stuff by yourself, knowing that.
But you're single, though. I don't know why it's hard, because I tried a solo trip a few years ago. Like 2-3 years ago, but I first started in Cape Town. After one day, I was just like, I'm coming home. But I think it's also like a growth thing and everything. I think, I definitely think now, like, I can like try again, but then I was just like, does not feel like it, love, pray.
And I think my problem with the whole solo thing, I want to do a complete solo because I've done a couple of solo dates, né?
Okay.
But I've realized that I end up being on my phone. I end up being with other people.
Socially.
Socially. But I want to do something. Like, I saw you guys did Bali. Like, you know, go somewhere where I can center myself spiritually and just, you know.
By yourself,
like,
guys. Yeah, we'll try it out. Okay, which song can you start from start to finish?
Yo.
Nothing.
No, it has to be, I know, Waymaker by Sinach. Really? Yeah.
And when she does the does she do talking in the song? No.
No, she does talking when she performs.
Okay, not
but on the song.
Okay, so on the song, you know,
yes.
All the lyrics, every corner of the song. Okay, Waymaker.
Yes.
Tabi, come on, you have to have a
Okay, something that comes to mind now is Uyinkosi Yamakhosi.
Don't tell us about it too long.
I'm telling you because this is the song that I used to sing when I was young. No, when I was young, we would sing to the song. Okay. So that's the first thing. That's the first song.
You guys are they're so saved. Yo.
I mean, I can sing Iplan.
From start to finish. Okay, last question. Is there a celebrity that you think you look like or have been told you look like?
I've been told that I've got similarities. I don't know if you guys know her, Jackie Afia. You don't know her. Uh-uh. But also, I've had that. Also, Viola Davis.
I can see Viola Davis. Yes.
I've also had Gugu Kumete Mamlambo.
Yes. I can see that. Okay.
Quite a number.
I can agree with those people.
Yeah.
No one.
Not even one.
Not even one.
You can't even think of someone. Mm-mm.
Tell Let's us see. Who you think.
Exactly.
I don't know. Okay, who do you guys think I
mean, I feel like you change a lot.
I do.
Like,
definitely hairstyle up and you face.
I feel like you change a lot. Not in features, but also somebody said it. I wanted to say it, but they said it first that you feel like you're in your Michelle Obama era.
What? Do I look like Michelle Obama?
No, not in looks. Oh, like the feel.
Okay.
I can't put your face to anyone.
I've heard Cardi B.
Oh, yes, I don't see it,
but I've heard Cardi B.
I feel like this part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, you look at people's Cardi B. And then with the short curly hair, apparently Sarah Jakes. But I don't think I look like her. I just think the style reminds people.
You see the whole thing that you had.
Yeah, like the bob. Kind
yes, that bob.
Yeah.
I think you look like her on certain, you know, the whole certain pictures.
Yes.
So now, a lot of people, okay, I think you look like Nonto on some photos.
No. I look all the time. We look all the time. We look
but
like
I feel like there's also certain photos that are like, oh my God, they are look like twins.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's get into the conversation. And I think I just want to get to know you guys a little better. Just who are you? Who is Ntabi? Who is Yvonne? Tell us about your upbringing. I know you're from Zimbabwe. Yes. You grew up there, right?
Yes.
Grew up
okay, there. Not foodie.
Okay.
Like a portion of my life.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Well, I grew up in my grandmom's house. Mm-hmm. It was quite a big house. Grew up with my cousins. It was like, I think, 8-7 of us.
Like people or kids?
okay, it was my grandmom. We had a helper. And then one of my cousins, my other cousin, myself. And then my mom, Nane, who had two kids. It was a lot of
10
us.
People in one house. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I grew up there. And then for a long time. I think I grew up there until I was 6 years.
Yeah.
And then I moved to South Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Then I moved to South Africa. Then I did like most of all my schooling here. But the time that I was in Zim, I actually enjoyed it. I come from a very big family.
Yeah.
But you know, when you come from a very big family, there's always squabbles and stuff,
yeah,
right? But also one thing that I've learned from how I was raised and the how big my family is that when it's all said and done, all you will ever have is family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like one of the beautiful things about my family is that in all the squabbles, you know, like you would have the aunties fight and all of that. But if anyone was to have some sort of trouble, they're all coming to rescue you.
Yeah.
You know, they will rescue you fighting.
Yeah.
They will rescue you shouting, but they all going to come and rescue you. And I mean, I grew up as I was quite shy. Like if you ask my dad the type of child I am, he'll tell you that I'm shy because... so mangkhula bebangibiza maponga ne, like ngicane ne bass.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, because my voice was just
hoarse,
loud,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's hoarsey and stuff, ne? So sometimes I'd have to be quiet so that I don't feel like I'm talking too much or have, but oh,
so
my
it's not that. So it's not that you're shy, it's just you're just like, it's just better to just keep quiet.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, those people, like even in general, right? Like my grandmom was quite strict, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, you had to sit down, uzbumbe.
Yeah,
you can't interfere in adults' conversations. You only speak when asked.
Yeah.
You can't have an opinion on things that you're not asked about, right? But one thing also, like I learned with the type of family that I grew up in was to stand up for myself in the quietness. I'll tell you guys a funny story, right? We had this neighbor, like right now, my cousin was here. Like her and that neighbor are now besties. But growing up, there was this huge fight because it stemmed from how the neighbor's little sister hit me, right?
Oh, okay.
She hit me, went back home crying, ne? And then I'm like crying. I'm like, this girl did this. And then my sisters were like, listen, you're going to get out there. You're going to prepare the hottest slap of your life and you're going to slap her back.
Oh my God.
And if anything happens, we are going to enter the fight. So, okay, ugel uyandlula ngakithi ne, pass by. And I'm nervous. I'm like, oh. But I'm crying also because she hit me first.
Yeah.
When she passed ngambamba from the back. And then after that, she fetched her sister.
Oh, gosh.
And then I fetched my sister.
So it was a whole...
It was a big thing, right? But for me, the turning point of that moment, right?
Yeah.
And as much as I don't promote fighting or anything like that, right? But the turning point was that it's important to stand up for yourself.
For yourself, yeah.
You know, and I've been constantly taught that I need to face life issues head on.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm always going to have home to run to.
Yeah.
But sometimes these things that I need to look at and face.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're uncomfortable, whether they're comfortable, but it's important that I face stuff head on.
Sure.
Yeah, but it was always fun, man. Christmas would, like, my grandmother had this, her lounge was very huge.
Yeah.
We all slept there on Christmas. We used to wear same clothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
the
michi,
whole family
michi,
thing.
You know, it was it was very fun.
Amazing.
You know, and we'll have amakosol.
Kosol. In the butternut.
Yes.
Beetroot. And Tavi, tell us about your upbringing. I know you shared, I think you shared on your Instagram how you used to be, it was actually so touching that you used to be ashamed that you grew up in a shack to a point where you lied about
my home.
Your home, yeah.
I would point someone else's house and
sure.
say, that's my home. Okay, so I'm originally from Northwest Muff Town.
Mm.
So that's where I'm from. I went to school there and my entire childhood, I was in Mafikeng. I went to a village school. So there was this time where I started calling myself a village girl.
Yeah.
And I think I liked that because I needed to heal that little girl in me and also help the village girls around. Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, in a village, there are a lot of people that stay in shacks.
Yeah.
And it's not a pleasant, you know.
Experience, yeah.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
And I could see how some react to their situations. So that's where I grew up. But I think the biggest thing about my journey is that I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had it any other way, because I think there was a point where, like, I would say, okay, this is what used to happen. In a shag, it's cold. I have to study. Mets was dribbling me, by the way. I have to study. And we have like a mini lounge. It's not, you know, and you can't sit there because when it's too cold at night, like, you're cold.
Yeah.
So I would try study in my bed, you know. And every now and again, I would touch the, you know, the shack.
The zenge.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know, how I wish I could just hit a wall.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. like, weird as it is that, like, why would you want to hit the wall? But for me, it was like, I would love to have a home. And I said to God, please help me to be the change I wish to see in my mm-hmm. home.
Mm.
And from then on, I started having vision boards.
Sure.
So obviously primary, let me not talk about primary. High school, there were times where I would go walk from my school to town, because my school was about 30 kilometers away. I would use a bus. But when I get to school, I have to get a taxi to town so that I can catch a bus. Sometimes I don't have that money for taxi, so I would have to walk.
30 kilometers?
Like, no. Not the 30 kilometers.
Okay.
Walk about like an hour.
Okay.
Sure.
Probably 20 or so.
Yeah.
Like an hour. So I would have to walk to town. And sometimes it was sad because, you know, when you feel like you are ashamed,
yeah.
like, you know, that's how I felt sometimes, you know. But I'm grateful for that because yeah. it really helped me to transform my family.
I want to know, when did you realize, mm-hmm. because, I mean, I think we all grow up in homes and that's all you know, right? Like
yeah.
I didn't grow up in a shack, but we grew up in a very small house. Like when I think mm-hmm. about it now and I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, like it was a very, very small house.
Sure.
But it's all we knew and we were happy and we were fine until you kind of see other people's
houses.
And you're like, okay. But
sure.
when did you realize that I wish I could touch a wall instead of a shack, if that's all, like, you knew, if those were your surroundings?
Okay, there was this one day, it was raining heavily, and we used to have this big tree outside our house. And what happened that evening, my dad wasn't around. Mm-hmm. It was just me, my mom, and my siblings. My older brother stayed in Rustenburg with my aunt. And it was windy, but, you know, God works in mysterious ways. It was windy. That tree fell, and it was a big tree. And in our house, you could see amazenge like going up, and you can see outside.
Sure.
And obviously, we have to like take buckets, put, you know, next to TVs, you know, electronics, stuff that will get damaged and all of that. But we were doing it with like out of fear because you're like, what if, you know, the next thing it flies off.
Yeah.
Our dad is not here. Yeah. So that moment for me was when I realized that this is not it. And of course, I've got, you know, cousins.
Yeah.
And when I visit them, they stay in homes. And when we go there during holidays, sometimes you just want to go there because, you know, they have a nice house, mm-hmm. nice
it's
TV,
warm,
you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think sure. that was the turning point for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yvonne, let me come to you. I asked this question in a previous conversation, and I think it's one of the questions I want to continue asking. What has been a blessing in disguise in your life? Like, you know, there's things we go through and losses and hurts and all sorts of things where in the moment it's just like, yo, why me? Why like this? This is not how it's supposed to be. Or why didn't I get this opportunity? Or why are things not working out? Why am I not married? Whatever the question is. But then you look now and you think, wow, what a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Well, I've got two significant points in my life, right? One was when I got terribly bent, like on my legs. I couldn't walk for like 6 months, right? Yes. So what happened was, I was in law school. I'm in my fourth year.
Mm.
And this is a time where I'm about to write my final exams. Then I got invited to an event, and then somebody mistakenly pushed imbaula. You know, imbaula.
The black
thing. Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying to think of imbaula. Which one is it?
So this black thing, it has holes. They usually and then put it
you
outside.
See the fireplace?
Yeah.
But in like his kaya.
Yeah.
In a traditional sense, right? So somebody mistakenly pushed that thing at me, right? It fell on my legs and I collapsed, right? I wake up, I'm wrapped around in bandages. I'm in hospital. I'm supposed to write final exams of my LLB. I have interviews for articles. Mm-hmm. I hadn't secured articles. I have interviews for articles. And so at that time, now I'm stressed out because I'm like, what's going to happen? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor says to me, and unfortunately, you may never walk again or you will limp for the rest of your life.
From burning?
Yes. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know, I have this huge scar. Like, it was crazy.
Sure.
So then she says to me, I may never walk again. I need to do physio. I remember I got home. I cried so much because I was like, God, number one, I didn't deserve that. Like, kimoto sharp,
mm-hmm.
you know, number one. And number two, if I'm meant to not walk again, what must happen now? Like, must I then drop out of school?
Mm.
How am I supposed to do this? You know, every single morning, I would wake up and cry and pray and go to school. I remember my students, I was tutoring at UJ. My students would always say, why don't you just stay at home? I remember people would say, just take a gap year. But I had an option of choosing to stay at home, stay in pain, nurse the pain. But I felt like for me, it was a turning point of being taught of courage because I forced myself in pain. I'd go to school. And then my doctor was even shocked. You know, I think for me, my faith was stretched there because I had to go back to God. I think also that was a returning point for me because I grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
But I think that season of my life, it tightened my relationship with God because that point was God was the only person I could rely on. He was the only person that could reverse because now a doctor has told me that, listen, I could help you. These bands are probably going to be okay eventually, but the best I can do for you, maybe you're going to limp. Or you may not walk because literally I couldn't bend my leg.
Mm.
So, you know, getting bent by your knees and now your knees or your lower body carries your whole body.
Yeah,
so now sure. I can't. So every morning I would cry for 6 months straight, right? And then eventually I got better. And then now I had to cancel out all my interviews.
Mm.
It meant I'm going to be unemployed, right? So, and then fast forward, I'm unemployed. I'm searching for articles. I'm nursing my legs. And right now also, like so much money. I'm spending so much. I couldn't even take a taxi. I had to be in Ubers. Like it was such an admin, right? Yeah. So, and then fast forward, I get to my LLB done with that. Then I enroll for my master's. And then whilst I'm enrolling for my master's, search for articles. Finally, I get interviews, right? So when I get interviews, something dawns on me to say, actually, had I not been banned, I was not going to get my master's because I was probably going to get a job right after.
Mm.
And then also with the process of finding articles and struggling to find articles, hence Employment Wednesdays, I was not going to be able to go on YouTube and educate other people and be like, hey guys, if you want to find a job, this is what's up, or this is where you look for jobs. I was not going to be able to do that. And again, my relationship with God would have been lukewarm, right?
Sure.
And then another one is a recent one, right? So do my master's and then I pray for a job. I think my whole existence, I've never prayed for a job like that. And then the year I get interviewed, that was 2020, they tell me that, hey, listen, we're going to call you when we move to bigger offices. Mm. But we know that in South Africa, when a person says that, they're basically saying,
they're saying
no. But also I stayed in faith, forgot about them. Then in 2021, they actually called me, hey, Yvonne, are you still available? Do you want to come do your articles with us? So I had already started articles at a law firm elsewhere. Then I ditched that other law firm because I knew that I'd been praying for this thing for such a long time. Get them, do my articles, and then mid articles. I also reach a career crisis type of thing where I'm like, do I even want to be here? Do I want to be in practice? But also, that doesn't, like, I'm in a happy place. I'm in a happy environment. Everything is good. I'm doing my job. I'm doing my job well. So, and then retention time, right? So when you do articles, you have to be returned as an associate and stuff. And so everybody at the office was shocked that day. They're like, yeah, we know they're going to retain you. Like, your bosses like you and stuff like that. I'm likable. Mm. Like, no one cannot like me, right? Get in the boardroom. My director tells me, like, hey, we're not going to return you. And in normal circumstances, I would have fought. I can negotiate myself out of anything. Yeah. I'm that girl, right? But a voice in me said, the season is done.
Oh, let it go.
You can't fight to stay in a season because you are going to miss your blessings. And okay, so I said to my boss, oh, okay. And then he kept on insisting, are you sure you don't want to say anything? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay. Thank you for the opportunity. And I think he asked me the whole question, don't you want to say something, like 5 times?
Sure.
Because I even felt like probably the Holy Spirit was speaking on my behalf because I kept on saying, no, I'm good. So then thereafter, moved on. Then I got a new job where I work right now, right? And after, I literally had interviewed in December, right? I had interviewed in December. Then they said they wouldn't take me because they wanted somebody immediately. And I was still finishing up my articles. Mm. I had until April. So in January, they tell me that, hey, listen, we're not going to return you. So you have to start looking for a job. And then in March, I get a call from my company that had interviewed me in December to say, hey, Yvonne, are you still keen? You know, we still would like to hire you and stuff like that, right? And I was like, yes, I'm keen. And then also, to top it up, I get hired in a department of something that I'm passionate of as a hobby.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's like I'm passionate about employment laws, career development, but now I get to do it from a very formal perspective, right? And just besides that, I realized that after that season, a lot of doors opened for me in ways that I can't explain.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I even wanted to post a joke that, you know, I'm tempted to send my previous boss an email and say, you know what, thank you for firing me.
Yeah, thank you, for letting me go.
Because it feels like it just fell into place.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we want to overstay our welcome.
Yeah.
In a season, but when God says move, trust He knows that He's doing what He's doing, you know, move. If you, like, just don't overstay, you know. And I know sometimes it's hard because one of the biggest questions I had, I was like, God, I prayed for this job.
I fasted
for this job and you gave me this job. And the only thing I could hear, one, God says to me, you're walking into the best season of your life. And that was a very weird statement, you know, because I'm like, which best season? I don't have a job right now. I'm unemployed. And then again, it took me back to a place whereby once a prayer is answered, right, you need to open room for more blessings. You can't hold on to the former.
That one thing,
you can't hold on to, I prayed for this before, then I need to stay in it.
Yeah.
New prayers, new blessings and stuff. So,
That's incredible. Yeah. Tavi, I'm going to bring the same question to you. What in your life have you realized that, oh, it was painful, but what a blessing?
Phew. I think for me, it will always go back to my family. So I think I want to take you guys back to a time where I started tertiary. So I didn't start in Pretoria. I started in the Northwest. Because I was struggling so much with mathematics, it was so hard for me because my dad had to find, what do you call this? I think it's edu loan, where he would have to pay like every month. And maths was the most expensive subject. And it really killed me that I'm not passing the subject, you know. But I remember my mom's words when she said that, my child, you know that I didn't get far. I wish I could help you, but the best thing you can do for yourself now is to do the best that you can. Go out there, find help.
Yeah.
Find someone to help you and run with it.
Yeah.
And do the best. And that changed everything for me because I was like, if I'm not going to change this situation, no one will.
Yeah.
And also, I was carrying the load of my siblings.
Yeah.
Because what used to happen, my siblings, even when I was in university, they would call me and ask for things. I'll be like, how? I don't stay with you guys. Mom and dad are there. Why aren't you asking for things like from them? Yeah. You know, but I understood. I twisted it and said, okay, it means they see something in me. They know that I can help them, you know, and they believe so much in me. And that inspired me to just push myself even further, you know. So I left Unibo and went to TUT. I'm telling you, I went to TUT a week before close of registration. I went there. I sent up an application before. And then when I went there, I was hoping that they've accepted me. When I get to the door, my name is on the rejected list. And it was around lunchtime. Because, you know, in the morning, you'll stand in the queue. By the time you get to the door, they're on lunch break. And I saw that. I'm like, but how? Because I did all my third year modules. I did computer science in Northwest University. And I'm like, there's no way. I need to be credited for most of my subjects. I waited. Some ladies were like, even a few guys, they were like, no, we're going to find another, you know, institution because they rejected us. I'm like, I'm not going to give up. I waited and eventually, I got to ask to meet with the head of the ICT department. I sat with her. Those guys were chilling there eating. And I was so hungry at the time. They were chilling there eating. And I was like, it's fine. I'm not going to leave until I get what I'm here for. And I knew that I needed to not prove necessarily to my parents, but to prove to myself that, no, you are not a failure. You just maybe didn't do well in maths because you didn't put much effort. But another thing, I loved computer science, but I was doing basics of everything, like your C++, your JavaScript. So I needed to specialize in something. And when I figured it out, I'm like, I'm out. So when the head of ICT looked at my transcripts, everything, I got credited all my first year subjects. Only one subject that I didn't do at Unibo. I had to like do
there,
And I was already on second year. If I had left, you know, it means I was I could have missed out on
so many,
you know, a greatest opportunity for me because things went great for me after that. I even got to be a tutor. That was the first university.
You guys are like jobs. smart. You just cum laude and all of that.
You know, I started sending money to my mom at second year, third year. Like I was sending money home, you know. Well, then I wish I had saved it first.
Because, fine. You're taking
they don't understand the saving part, but it's fine. But I'm so grateful. I think that was it for me. And I'm glad that everything took the greatest turn. You know, I took this situation that was hurtful, that was, you know, not nice. Because at the time, you know, you think of the amount of money your parents, you know, it, and it's so sad because you're like, am I not doing anything better with my life? Like, should I just stop what I'm doing? And then I went to TUT. Fast forward, I got a bursary. The bursary paid off all my university fees. I even got change, and I was like to my family, "Here's the money, tatani."
Got change,
you know. Still, I wish I saved at the time.
I think it's incredible how we think like we want to hold on to spaces and places just because in a certain season it felt right, and it's just like, I was just like, dude, I see what's on the other side. I just need you to come on board. Tabby, what do you know for sure about yourself right now? That, and I ask this because like I like I do a lot of reflecting, and I reflect a lot on my childhood and a lot of things where I doubted myself and I wished I changed this and I tried to fit in here. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I know for sure that I'm this person and this is my gift and da 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 da. So for you, what do you know for sure about you?
I think the first thing, I am now more self-aware. I think before it was the hardest thing for me. I always put other people before me.
Sure.
And obviously I'll share something recent that happened. I got divorced and I remember my ex-husband asking me this question, like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, if this one thing that I'm really, really sure about now, it's this.
Sure.
I choose me.
Wow.
And to me, that was me realizing that you have been, you know, giving yourself, giving so much to others, but not giving to yourself.
You, yeah.
And it felt so good that I could choose myself.
Sure.
And I mean, even with family, I think in my family, I happen to be that one person they come to.
Yeah.
Like I said this the other day that, well, a few months ago when I was going through, you know, difficult times, I was like, even the strongest break. And for me saying that is because you don't even know, because you are the strong,
you're
you are
just
the
carrying everyone.
You're carrying everyone. It's like when you're going through the most, who do you run to? Who do you ask for help? Who do you speak to? But I think honestly being self-aware and being really sure of the person that I am.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm God's perfect creation. Like I can do anything. Yeah. I'm capable of just achieving anything.
Yeah, sure.
And I've achieved so much. And I, so I have this, I call it my famous quote, and it says, I have seen what hard work can do, and I know what more it can and will do. So as the year progresses, I said, I have seen what God can do, and I know what more He can and will do.
Sure.
And that's what I'm seeing with my life.
Wow.
And He's still doing more.
Yeah.
There's so much coming in, and I'm like, God, I'm ready.
Keep doing. I love that. I love that at first, like, I think we all go through this phase where it's just like, hard work, and hard work is very important.
Sure.
Hard work is important, I vouch for it. But then I think we all get to a point where you just like, man, like, I can do stuff, right? I can show up. But as soon as God, like, as soon as you, like, let go and God starts doing His thing, it's just like, it doesn't even compare. And I think when we allow God to step in, and I was talking to Michelle about this, like, it's almost like things become easier. Like, you don't have to think about, like, everything.
Sure.
Ivana, I want to ask you, was there a point in your life where you didn't see your worth? Like, you just, like, you're like, there's just no worth to you. And I ask this because I think we sometimes look at other people and think, why can't I be like this person? Like they, and it's not that you want their life per se, but you just like, they've got it together. They know who they are. Like, why can't I see that for myself?
Sure.
And if so, how have you gotten to a place where now you're comfortable in your own skin?
I would say, you know, in high school, when you're dark skinned, you're not pretty enough. Like you're labeled as bare minimum backseat, you know. So, so for me, being a dark skinned girl, like funny enough, I was watching your interview with Vongai and them, and I was laughing so hard when I thought about how, like in Zim, it's not a thing whereby you're dark, you're light.
Yeah, it's just
you're pretty. It's like you're pretty, yeah. Right? So in high school, I experienced issues whereby I was often labeled as the less pretty one because I was dark skinned. So to a certain extent, it made me question my sense of beauty. It made me question if I'm pretty enough, if I'm valid, or if I'm enough. So at the time, my coping mechanism was being an A student. So if you're gonna say I'm ugly, sweetie,
at least you know I'm a pass.
I'm number one. You're gonna come and ask for answers from me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So my coping mechanism became, okay, I've always been doing so well in my studies, but it became a driving force to say, okay, if they're not going to see me for my looks, they're going to hear about me for my academics and stuff like that, right? But also, as time went on, you know, you'd meet people that actually compliment you. You know, oh my God, you've got a beautiful body. Oh my God, you've got a beautiful smile. Oh my God, you've got beautiful eyes. And then you realize that, you know, as kids, yeah, sometimes it's deliberate and sometimes it's unconscious.
Yes,
you know, whereby you make
sure,
other kids feel less,
yeah.
Right? Then it got to a point where I'm like, you know what, I'm enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And just because Mpumi is in the room and she's pretty doesn't make me less pretty.
Mm.
I can be my pretty she can be her pretty, you know. And also for me, you know, another turning point was me understanding that I am beautifully and wonderfully and fearfully made,
yeah.
You know. And I came to understand that God created me the way he created me for a specific purpose,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I can't sit here and want to be Ntabi because mm-hmm. that's an insult to God's work.
Sure.
You know, and I started like just realizing that, you know what, I am beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm God's pearl. I'm mm-hmm. God's chosen one. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly made in his image.
Yeah.
If he saw it fit to make me dark skinned,
yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew why he did it that way, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it was that. But generally, I've always been quite a confident child,
yeah.
You know. My dad, my parents actually, particularly my dad, has always been one person to tell me that there will never be another you and you will never get another moment in your life,
yeah.
Right? So if you walk around thinking of what other people think or what other people are saying about you, you're wasting your time. And
yeah.
The sad reality is that you can't get back that time,
yeah.
You know? And I think also as my relationship with God evolved, I became better at seeing myself.
Yeah.
I started seeing God from a very soft place.
Yeah.
And I started seeing myself in a softer place as well.
I love that. I started seeing God from a very soft place.
Yeah.
And I want to add on to the question for you is, is confidence and worth something that is just like natural, like I realized who I am and this is just who I am, or is it something you constantly continue to work on? Because I know I have to constantly remind myself that, like,
I think it's a work in progress. So
yeah.
I always tell people, because a lot of people be like, oh my God, you're so confident.
Mm.
Oh my God, this, that. But I feel like it's a work in progress,
yeah.
Because you see right now, I'd like, you wouldn't know, right? But you are like my Oprah Winfrey.
Girl, child.
Like, I'm just going to put it out there. So for me, this moment,
yeah.
You, this is me seated with Mama O.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you love Mama O?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't get familiar. So one of the things mm-hmm. that my mom has taught me, never to get familiar with spaces.
Sure.
So when you're not familiar, you don't relax.
Sure.
You constantly work at
sure.
getting better.
Sure.
So I always tell myself, yes, I speak well, but I must go read.
Yeah.
Because your grammar can get lost
yeah.
along the way.
Yeah.
I can tell myself I'm confident, but I must constantly check
work
myself.
That, yeah.
You know, I love what you said earlier when you were talking about how you constantly reflect.
Yeah.
I'm also a body of reflecting.
Yeah.
I ask myself, why did I say the thing that I said the way I said it?
Mm.
Where is it stemming from?
Mm.
So it's a work in progress. I don't think people are born confident.
Yeah.
It's the circumstances that we find ourselves in
yeah.
and the constant trial and error,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes we think we're not confident, but when you use a different perspective or a different lens, you realize that you actually are confident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It
yeah.
just takes you realizing it.
That
yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah. I think it also goes back to the thing of like when you talk about the perspective and the lens thing, it's like, I look at certain things and in the moment, I think you probably felt like you're not enough or you're not good enough.
Sure.
And then you look back, like you reflect and then you're
yeah.
just like, oh no, girl, you were amazing.
Yeah.
And it I think it just really matters which lens and perspective
yeah.
you look from. I want to know, how did you find wisdom and wellness? I'm going to ask both of you this question. How did you find wisdom and wellness? And I was shy of asking this question, but I figured because, our community asked me to do this, it's important. How did you find wisdom and wellness and how has it changed or impacted your life?
Where do I start?
That is so bad.
I've got a list. Well, obviously, it first started with first things first. Your YouTube video.
Yeah.
Me discovering you.
How did you find it? How did you find it? Just
Because I had a YouTube, but I didn't even know what I was doing on YouTube. My YouTube was for programming and all of that.
Okay.
And I happened to see this amazing woman,
little girl,
sharing scriptures. Because the first thing I saw, you holding a Bible, sitting there, yeah, down on the floor, and I was like, let me listen. And this way it all started. I started following you and everything changed. So, wow. Wisdom and Wellness, sure. I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of it from the beginning. And
day that, one, baby. Like,
listen.
Yeah.
And that to me is just so inspirational, because obviously seeing it so big and we are here. Yeah. By the way, thank you so much. This is like, like I'm so pinching myself. You know, so Wisdom and Wellness changed so much in my life. And I think, let me start by saying, so there was a time where I worked for a specific company where I was really tired of that company. Mm. You know, I resigned before literally resigning.
Sure.
I was a mess until my doctor said, I've got symptoms of stroke. Because I wasn't sleeping enough. I was overworking myself. Mm. And at the time, I was running my design business on the side. Mm. So this was my routine. In the morning, I wake up at 5, drink a bottle of energy drink.
Ka five.
Yeah, awesome. I get a miracle. Yeah. I know. Yes.
I'm already getting heart palpitating.
Exactly.
It's like you haven't even sneezed.
Listen, sure. I could literally buy like 6-pack of it just idulemo fridging, you sure. know. So my routine was that 5 o'clock, get ready, then go to work. Lunchtime, I take my laptop, I find there was this sandwich shop. I would sit there, go through my emails, my company emails. Mm. Or sometimes I would just, you know, go out and just see what's happening. Because at the time also, I was just introducing myself to this content space and seeing how I can, you know, build my portfolio or my personal brand through social media. So later on, when my doctor told me that I had symptoms of stroke, that's when I realized that things have got to change. Mm. But before then, I didn't know how to do it. I was building a home at the time. Mm. And I'm like, if building I resign, yes. If I resign, how am I going to pay that house? How am I going to finish building? How am I going to survive or sustain myself? It means I was either going to stay with then boyfriend or go back home.
Mm.
You know, what was going to happen? So when I watched your video and when you spoke about how you started from, you know, your mobile salon. Yeah. But before that, you did cleaning as well.
Cleaning, yeah.
You know, when you spoke about those things, and I started realizing that, but why are you complaining?
Sure.
Like, what makes you think that leaving that job will not, or will be the end of you?
Sure.
You know? But then your video and the doctor combined really helped me discover that, girl, it's time to go.
Sure.
And not only did you help me realize that I needed to let go of that, but you helped me to rebuild my connection with God, because
sure.
my relationship with God was in shambles. I mean, it was taken to a point where sometimes you would question God, like,
yeah.
but God, why me? Why my family? Why? I was angry at my dad at the time as well, because I was like, how do you work in a government for so many years? You can get a subsidy house, all of that. Why us? Why should I be the one, you know, doing all of this? Sure. I can't even buy myself a first car yet because I firstly need to do this. Because
I
swore to myself that I'll never have a car while we stay in a shack.
Yeah.
Pagi moto in front of the shack.
That
like,
makes sense. Yeah.
I might as well sleep in it mostly.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like,
yeah.
I'm not going to do that. So you really helped me to change all of that.
Sure.
And you speak so much about excellence and we see it in you.
Yeah.
And that has also helped me to reshape or, you know, refocus my life, because I was just all over the place. I mean, I'm still fixing some of those things. I'm like, no, you really need to have a direction.
Yeah.
You know, when a person comes to you and says, who are you? Yeah. What are you about?
Yeah.
You know, be clear about it. So that's something that I constantly worked on. And you really kept me on my toes.
Sure.
You know, before I even met you, because you were doing all of that behind the scene, I was looking at the screen and not realizing that you're doing amazing. My family know you.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this Mpumi? My sister now, I pushed them like, you are going to follow her, but I'm not going to choose for you, but I know how she helped me to become a better person.
Yeah.
If you see something, take it.
Yeah.
You might not see everything.
Yeah.
Take that one thing and run with it. So, yeah.
Sure. And fast forward now, you run your business.
I run my business.
Built your parents a house.
Listen, let me share this.
Okay, share it. You share it.
Let me share this. So this one time, because it's been like 3 years since it's like fully furnished and all of that. I remember this one time calling my mom, so what's happening for Christmas? Are you visiting your grandparents' house? Yeah. What's happening? She's like, no, I'm not going anyway. I'll be in my house.
In my house.
I need to clean my house. I'm like, how? You'll be so cleaning. Beautiful. It's Christmas. Because this is something that really my mom wanted.
Mm.
And she didn't ask much from us. Mm. You know, she didn't say, my child, I need this amazing house. Mm. I decided to build a 10-bedroom house for them. And they were like,
sure.
Some of the family members are asking, but like, it's just the two of them. All of you guys are gone. I'm like, but
we didn't have that.
Yeah. Now when we go home, we didn't even have visitors.
Sure.
Now I can just say, guys, let's have Christmas at my house.
Sure.
You know, I'll host this year. And it's just amazing. There's room for everyone.
Sure.
You know, and we can share a meal together. It's so beautiful because it's like we were just that family that didn't have relatives. Mm. That's how it looked like in the neighborhood, because they're like, Labanta baba gashelwe kanti. Bazola laphi. You know?
Yeah. Now you touch a wall, girl. You built a wall.
You, sis has got a car. Sis,
winning team.
Sis has got a car. Sis has built a home. Sis is running her own business.
Tell me about it. Sure. Like, it's just God. And this is all him. And I'm so grateful. And all I want to say is that to someone who's wondering, like, will I ever get to that situation where things are great for me? Trust the process. Mm. You know, Mike Todd said, see it, like, sow it before you see it.
Yeah.
Make sure that you do the work now.
Yeah.
Do the best that you can now. Don't worry about, love that shack that you live in.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, appreciate it, be grateful for it, because someone is under a bridge somewhere.
Yeah.
They don't have shelter at all. Be grateful, because if it wasn't for that, you know, you wouldn't be somewhere. And
wow. Yvonne, how did you find Wisdom and Wellness, and how has it changed your life or progressed your life?
So I first, I found you and Brandon via a friend of mine who was obsessed with watching couples. I remember in third year, she was watching you guys. I'm like, why are you watching couples? Like, do you have problems?
Like, food.
Like, I don't understand the whole couple relationship channels. Yeah. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So then she's like, no, try and pull me, you know. And then she couldn't convince me. Then she said to me, no, friend, she has these sessions. I think you guys used to do 2 minutes of something. I don't know if it was 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
What is it called?
But it was very expensive. 2 minutes
Tuesday, something like that. Yeah, yes, 2 minutes
Tuesday.
Something
then like she's
that.
Like, if you don't want to watch the long ones,
yeah,
start with the short ones. I binged on the short ones. I'm like, I want some more tea. Who are those people? Then I remember, I think the video that actually made me stay, you guys were going to Durban. I think you were pregnant with Nuri or something.
Yeah.
Or it was, but I know it was a trip to Durban with Brandon. I don't know if it was your first trip together or something. And then I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And then you guys were just vlogging and stuff. I'm like, actually, Laba, Nzoba follow. Then I started watching all of your YouTube videos, right? And then I'd occasionally watch, like I would save them, then binge. And then I think when you on in 20 like 3 years ago when you posted on Twitter about the, was it, I don't know if you did do it October 1st.
Speak Life September 1st.
Was it Speak Life September 1st? Yes. So when you spoke about Speak Life September, when it was just free, no courses or anything like that, I was like, what is it? I actually like challenges. Yeah. You know, like I get bored when there's nothing to look forward to. Like, I love the idea of seeing, if we do this, what, how's it going to end?
Yeah, like, what's happening?
Yes, am I going to have lean angles and stuff like that? So I hopped onto that, right? Started following you. And I think for me, within that year and a half of following you, what I loved is that you didn't just speak excellence or whatever, but you represented. I think I even did a YouTube video stating how, even from your journals, you can tell that there's a transition because I'm going to say, let's grow, and I'm going to show you how we're going to do it. You know, you're not just saying, John 3, verse 16, you know, but you are like leaving that life, right? So I saw you progress, and I love the idea that we get to do it all together. Yeah. You know, we get to, like, even sometimes when you post, like I see most of your stories, right? When you post, you're like, I didn't feel like doing this today. I'm like, oh, some Bumi also feels like this. Yeah. Okay.
This
it's okay for me. It's okay for me to feel down and out. It's fine. I'll push myself to go to the gym. I'll push myself to eat right and stuff like that. And I think for me also what touched me is how you have been so vulnerable about your journey.
Yeah.
In ways I don't know about other people, but it touched me so much because I remember this one time you shared how, like, I've seen you, you've been an extremist.
Yeah.
You know, you've been like, let's go hard. And I remember at some point you got sick, right? I think there was some, you were on no meat or something like that. And then you were not well. And when you came back to explain that, I'm like, this person has like literally fully involved us in her life.
Yeah.
And in not just involving us, but also teaching us. You know, some people are selfish that they will learn that something makes you sick and they'll keep it to themselves, you know. But you have said, guys, you know what? We've previously done this, but it's not working. It's not healthy. Let's try this new method. And for me, that is beautiful. It's very authentic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, we'll do things great, but if they don't work anymore, I'll come back and tell you guys that, hey, listen, I know we're doing 20 kilometers, but I've done research. 20 kilometers is not good for you. Let's do 5 kilometers.
Yeah, let's try different methods.
You know, so I've loved that about your journey. And to speak about wisdom and wellness, I love that it has changed my life greatly. Yeah. Like, it has changed my life in ways I can't explain. So there's this joke, like, it's an inside joke, but hey, best friend, I'm boom. Because, like, that's
almost... It's my face.
You know? And every time, because they know how much I like you, like, besides liking you, but I like how you've carried yourself and you've proven that humanity is a work of God's art.
Sure.
In that you haven't tried to make your life perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, there's times where I'm like, okay, but you didn't have to share this, but you actually share yourself like that, you know? And it's so beautiful to watch. It's so beautiful to experience. You've changed my journey in terms of confidence. When I said confidence is a work of progress, I've seen you progress. Yeah. I've seen you become, I don't think you would have worn this suit. You'd have been wearing gray.
The color. Yeah. Look like this room.
Yeah, you'd have been wearing white, nude, you know, but to actually see you evolve and become and see seasons for what they are, whether you're changing, you've allowed yourself to be, for me, that has been so life-changing for me as well, because also I'm quite a harsh person to self, you know. I'm very selfless.
Yeah.
I do beyond and above for everybody else, but sometimes I'm very, like, I give myself a lot of hidings.
Yes.
And I think wisdom and wellness has taught me to love myself softly. It has taught me to nurture my relationship with God. Mm. It has taught me that certain things will work, certain things won't work. And
it's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay. Right. You know, it's okay to not be okay. Yeah. You know, it has taught me to honor my feelings. You know, if I'm sad, I ought to be sad. If I want to cry, I can cry. And I think more than anything, it has helped me, like, reach many people, like Ntabi. Okay, I met Ntabi before Wisdom. Like, okay, we didn't know that we both follow Wisdom and Wellness, but I think also I've gained a sister from her, because we started, like, we became close because, oh my God, you're also doing Speak Life September. Yeah. Oh my God, you're going to the Smoothies and Pilates.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's great to see you. So I've also gained sisters, and my faith is strengthened. And I mean, in all of this, I've been able to speak life. Like, I think the biggest thing, actually, Bang Bizong is to speak life.
Yeah.
Like, but to Yvonne, anything, because she's going to tell you how you must speak life to it. you know, but you've taught me to speak words in my life. If anything, that I'm sure of, when I'm down and out, I can speak words of power and change my life.
Sure.
You know, I don't have to bring out this. Sometimes it's just me waking up in the morning and saying, you can do this, yeah, and you will do this, yeah, and you're going to do it well,
yeah,
and just that's show it up. So you've taught me a great deal of the power of words, the power of showing up for yourself. You know, sure, wow, I don't know any other person who shows up for herself,
true,
even if she's a mess, even if she's her best self, you know, like, yeah.
Sure. Wow. And you touched on something which was going to be like my last question about the community aspect. And I think you both can answer this. How have you guys made the most out of the community aspect? And for me, it was important to create this community because I feel like I needed the, sure, community. Like, I've always felt like I've had people and friends, but to a certain extent, I've always felt like alone, sure, and with wisdom and wellness, like, it's other alone people like me. and then we all come together and we all want to do the same thing. Sure. So I don't have to convince everybody around me.
Yeah.
But how have you guys made the best use of the community aspect of wisdom and wellness?
I think for me, I'll start with the fact that it has really showed me that, you know what, we can come as one, and with our different situations,
yeah,
with any challenge in life. But if we come as one, like, we can fight it all together.
Yeah.
We can be vulnerable together.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter how big your problem is, but the minute, like, it's a safe space for us.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like I've gained a sister in you.
Yeah.
A friend is, it's another word.
Yeah.
You know, a sister. And I've got to build, you know, relationship with more sisters.
Yeah.
I mean, we engage on, mm-hmm, deeper level.
Yeah.
We talk, we even had a podcast this one time together. Mm-hmm. And I think for me also is how we become family.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so beautiful. And I think it's something that you can never take away.
Yeah.
Whether the challenge is done or anything like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's, you like, solidified.
Still,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
you still have that. And also, it taught, the community teaches you to also be independent.
Yeah.
Because some people rely so much on, okay, if Mpumi posts that she did her run or walk today, then I'm going to push myself.
Yeah.
But learning that you have to actually do it, and you're not just doing it for you, you're doing it for the team. If you fail, the whole team fails.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So that's how I look at it. And, yeah.
For you?
It's very similar to her, but for me, one of, like, the biggest things, it's the love and the energy there. I've realized that there's this thing we do. I don't know if it's just me, but when people spot you on the comments, they, yeah, actually follow you. Right? So, I mean, not to just raise numbers, but, yeah, I find it really cute, mm-hmm, because sometimes, like, I comment on something on wisdom and wellness, right? Maybe like 10 people like the comments. And then when I open my Instagram, I've got so many followers. I'm like, where are these people,
yeah,
coming from?
These people, yeah.
And then when I check, I actually say, oh, okay, it stems from this comment. Mm-hmm. So the love and the support, and, like, it's just heartwarming, because,
yeah,
you also see how you've got cheerleaders.
Yes.
So for me, it was like I could be up the stage and then I've got these cheerleaders that are like, you go,
we got
girl.
You, girl. Yeah, you know?
Because,
yeah,
I feel like another turning point. I remember when I got admitted. I mean, okay, Ntabi, like, we have some sort of relationship, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like you and I were probably establishing a relationship,
yeah,
as well, right? But there were certain people from the wisdom and wellness community, sure, that reposted my,
wow,
photo. And then I'm like, remember Gail?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You posted me?
Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful, man, having, mm, people that are saying, listen, may not, sometimes we can't do things together, right?
Yeah.
I may not be there with you.
I
may
it.
Not be able to do it with you, but I'm standing in the gap.
Yes,
I'm praying for you.
Yes, I see.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
And whenever you run back or whenever you're falling, I'll probably be here to catch you.
And celebrate, mm-hmm, you. For me, I think this,
yeah,
year has been so mind-blowing. I realized how, like, at first I thought it's like, I'm it's like my wisdom and wellness thing, but I realized that if I die, wisdom and wellness continues. Like,
sure.
It's
no,
not
definitely.
Just about me,
yes,
but it's other people who, like, it's like, I feel like you guys treat it like it's your
sure.
own thing, and it makes it, like, so much worth it. Like, on a day, like, there was a day where I think I didn't run. I can't remember. It was something was happening, but I didn't go. But I saw you guys like sharing, and I'm just like, okay.
Aluta.
So yeah, things continue.
Yeah.
Okay. In short, what is this season of your life called?
Go peace. First.
Peace.
Oh, it's peace for me.
Sure.
Peace. With so much that I've been through this past year, like. Mm. Peace. Not fighting to be valid, not fighting to feel like you're worthy, you know, but understanding that you're at peace with God and you're enough as you are.
Sure.
You don't need to change the person that you are to suit other people's needs. You need to be true to yourself. You know, I believe that when you are in a room, maybe in a shower, for example, naked, taking a shower. It's you and the shower and God.
Yeah.
You know the truth. You know your truth. Mm. So I find peace in being true to myself and my values and doing right by others. You know, the word that says do good unto others for whatever you want to see in your life, do it.
Yeah.
And let it go. Yeah. After that, just detach yourself, and that's how this season looks like to me.
Peace.
Peace.
Love it.
I think for me, it's a reaping and alignment.
Sure. Reaping and alignment.
Yeah. I feel like every single thing that I've always wondered about my life is coming into fullness.
Wow.
I'm literally on aha moment.
Sure.
Like, I'm just like, oh, God, really? Oh, I get it. I get why I didn't get this. I get why I had to go to so-and-so. I get why certain things didn't happen the way they did. So it's just reaping and alignment.
I said the other day, seeds don't die.
Yeah, they don't.
Seeds don't die. Good or bad, seeds don't die.
Sure.
Wall of wisdom. Quote or verse you live by.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11. Yes.
Do it afraid.
Do it afraid. Okay. Oh, deep, deep. You're not allowed to mention Wisdom and Wellness, podcast or book that you listen to, that changed your life, that others should listen to or read.
For me, it's still Crazy Faith.
Crazy Faith.
Crazy Faith.
That book.
Like, that book is something else. I still go back to my notes and go, wow, okay. I see this crazy faith, this wavy faith, but everything about that book.
Yeah.
That's one for me.
I would say Finding Me by Viola Davis.
Yeah.
I got dismantled. You know, when something like you got, like I got teared apart and felt back.
Put back together.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, just like boom, and then it's like.
It's like a puzzle that was destroyed and then put back to pieces.
Okay, finish the sentence. A wise woman once said,
but still I rise.
Still I rise. Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou.
Yes.
Niagala Bafan.
That's on you. That's all you, girl. Guys, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you for having my back. Thank you for the sisterhood. And thank you for having other people's backs as well. I love you and I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Aww, we love you.
I love you too.
Cheers. Cheers.